The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Deathlands number 74, Strontium Swamp. When Jack Lauren joined Ryan Carter's group, he left behind a vill in ashes, confident that the people would rebuild. As fate returns Carter's people to Jack's hometown, he finds how wrong he was.
I still had something. Belonged here, even if I wasn't here. But now, even that's gone. Like tree roots ripped up, tossed aside.
The sadistic Baron, Dr. Jean, has reduced Jack's people to mindless, obedient slaves. And he wants more than any one vill can provide.
In 2 nights' time, I plan to mount a raid on the last remaining scum that stand between ourselves and the complete domination of the Bayou. Having located the sickness, it is time to burn it out.
Ryan must make a hard decision once Jack decides to stay with his people. Will Ryan stay and fight against overwhelming odds, or protect his companions by staying out of a fight that is not his own? Either way, people will die. Dr. Jean has made a fortress of Jack's former home, and has unspeakable plans for those Jack holds near and dear, as well as for Jack himself.
Let me out of here, you bastard!
That's true, actually. I never knew my daddy. But say hello to Ma. Ma Shetty.
In the swamps of the bayou, old friendships are strained to the breaking point, new alliances are forged, and blood is in the streets.
Tonight we shall deliver unto them a message. A message of hope for the future. A message written in blood!
Don't miss 1 minute of Deathlands number 74, Strontium Swamp.
Deathlands number 74, Strontium Swamp. Will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting August 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Strontium Swamp. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Mac Bolan number 91, Line of Control. Two powerful crime syndicates from both sides of the world vie for power in new territory, the United States. The Kung Lok, Chinese triad...
Two things prevail in the American Southwest like nowhere else in the country. Sex and drugs. Both are plentiful, cheap, and popular enough that we can control them with ease.
And how do you propose to do this?
That is the beauty of this plan. It has already been done. For us.
By whom?
By the Americans themselves.
And the Carrillo Mexican drug cartel.
We smuggle drugs, and I pay the American authorities to look the other way. In return, they get what they wish, and I bring back firearms. Those firearms can now be yours for the taking, for your little revolution, Colonel.
I'll drink to that.
And the results threaten us all.
Oh my God! War between the Mexicans and the Kung Lok Triad? Here in America?
We're talking untold loss of lives, property damage in the millions, and full-scale chaos for law enforcement agencies all across the U.S.
We're talking war in our streets. Martial law would have to be declared in the larger cities, and Phoenix Force and Able Team couldn't be everywhere at once, even if we knew where to start.
Now the executioner must face a firefight without Stony Man's help.
This man fancies himself a hero, but there are no heroes left in your society. We will find him and destroy him.
And confront the one who's really behind this nightmare.
This isn't about pride in China or Mexico or the might of the triads, my friend. It's about profit. And we all have our little piece of the pie. And I'm offering the cartel and the triad an opportunity to have theirs.
Not while I'm alive.
Mac Bolan, number 91, Line of Control, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting August 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Line of Control. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
And now, our feature presentation.
Previously on Deathlands.
Outside, the first hint of dawn was already in the sky, with a freshening wind coming from the direction of the Atlantic coast. The ville was deserted, with the old theme park ride standing skeletal and abandoned. The rest of the Baron Sec men seemed to know that disaster had struck, and they were without a leader, without a job. Now Green Glades would stand open until someone else came along with the strength and the firepower to snatch it and hold it. But that was no concern of Ryan Cotter's. Ryan stopped the group when it was within a couple of hundred yards of the hidden redoubt entrance.
Let's just try that radio one more time before we make the jump.
Christy had been carrying the small radio, and she handed it over. Ryan adjusted the set and switched it on, setting it to the 100-wave band.
This is Ryan calling Jack. Ryan, calling Jack. You receiving me? Over.
The swampy area was quiet. There was the large lake of mud just to the right, with an occasional greasy bubble breaking from its surface.
Come in, Jack. This is Ryan. We got a sort of message. Is there trouble, Jack? Over. Fire blast. Come in, Jack. Come in. This is Ryan. What's the trouble, Jack? Over.
Suddenly, Ryan had a prickling, uneasy feeling. Jack wouldn't have been trying to contact him unless something had gone wrong. That was his gut feeling, and he couldn't shake it.
One more try. Jack, come in. This is Ryan. We're making the jump in a few minutes. Come in, Jack. Over.
Ryan! Ryan! Bad news. Lost.
Was that the kid?
I don't know, JB.
But it could have been Jack.
Ryan felt a surge of blazing anger. The futile rage of a man faced with a recalcitrant machine.
Fucking piece of shit!
He heaved the radio out into the swamp. It quickly sunk into the sullen darkness of the deep slime.
Nice one, lover. Real clever move, that.
Ryan turned to look at Christy, a pulse beating in his forehead. She took a hesitant half-step back at the sight of his face, but he fought the mood and controlled it. Finally, he smiled.
Yeah, you're right, babe. But it felt good. And it's done now.
Then we might as well make the jump.
He nodded at her.
Sure.
The walls were silvered glass, and Ryan knew they were back in New Mexico. It hadn't been too bad a jump. Outside the ruined redoubt, the morning sun was breaking over the mountains to the east, throwing long shadows out across the desert. They managed to pick their way down onto the level ground without any difficulty, though Ryan was worried to see plentiful new tracks on the trail from the redoubt. Christy busily tied her hair back off her neck with a black bandana.
Someone coming.
With the rising sun in his face, highlighting the dazzling white hair, it was impossible to mistake Jack Lauren. He was riding a bay mare, spurring the horse on at a fast trot that turned into a dust-burning gallop when he spotted the little group of friends. Christie stared intently toward him as he closed the gap to 100 yards. Her face set like pale marble, she reached out to grip Ryan by the wrist. Hard enough to make him wince.
Oh, no.